because time to talk some Oregon football, sprinkle in some hoops. Our guest does a tremendous job covering Duck Athletics for Oregon Duck Football News on Twitter. The handle is at Duck Football News. Welcome in Warren Williamson. Warren, we haven't spoken on air since early August. So how are you and yours holding up during the craziness of pandemic 2020?
You know, all is good. It has been just a crazy year, but we're all going through it together, and I think that's what makes it tolerable. You know, we're all going through the same thing, but it is crazy for sure. We did our cross country motorcycle ride earlier this summer for fallen service members, and you know, knock on wood, we came back all healthy, and we honored 68 fallen service members. So it's been good.
For those from a particular generation, it's crazy to think 40 years ago tonight during Monday Night Football, we learned about the murder of John Lennon. I'm just kind of curious, your story, where you were and what you recall about December 8th, 1980.
You know, first, I've been listening to you for like the last 15, 20 minutes, and you have brought back a lot of memories because I remember exactly where I was. I was living in Los Angeles. I was actually working for Dinah Shore at the time on Dinah and Friends. I was a production assistant on her television show. And, you know, in the entertainment business during that time, you know, 1980 was a really weird year for a lot of reasons. But for that specific incident, it threw the entertainment business just crazy. So I was working on her show at the time. And we actually had that week off, and there were so many entertainment types and people around the city of Los Angeles who went to his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and different places where they had performed and put flowers out, and it was really something. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Dinah Shore, wow, there's a blast from the past. Burt Reynolds' girlfriend, legend in for the LPGA tournament. I love it.
And here's another side story on that, which was very weird. In September, a couple of months before John Lennon was assassinated, we were actually doing the show live in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. You know, television shows, talk shows would always go to Vegas and spend a week up there. And so I was up there with the show. And in late November, that's when the fire occurred. If you remember the MGM Grand fire in Las Vegas, killed 70, 80 people almost. So we had just been at that hotel. That's where we were shooting the show. We had just been there. And then the fire occurred in November. And then John Lennon was killed just a few weeks after that.
Wow, that's staggering.
Yeah.
Let's try some men's hoops. Disappointing opener against Missouri. Then the news that they lost Will Richardson, who was, you know, in essence going to replace Pritchard as one of the leaders. But safe to say, as we've grown accustomed, you give Altman and his staff just basketball players, and they tinker, and already in the back-to-back wins, you can see improvement from less than a week ago.
Yeah, I've learned to take what Dana says with a grain of salt. Usually at the beginning of each year, he's I don't want to say he's always negative, but it's always something that needs to improve, and I've seen in these last couple of games in his post game where he's been a little bit more upbeat on the good things rather than commentary on the bad things, but putting these pieces together is something he's a wizard at. I mean, this is a team of brand new faces. They've got good length. They've got good speed. I really like their defense. I think their defense with the addition of Figueroa is really going to make a difference, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're there at the very end competing for the Pac-12 tournament.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the bad news about Richardson, I thought, was somewhat countered by the clearing to get L.J. Figueroa, the St. John's transfer, who had 9 rebounds in his debut, double-double last night. I know it's not the same position, and he's not a point guard, but how nice has it been to see his immediate impact and, you know, a guy who played in the Big East with 2 years' experience?
he's 110 miles an hour every minute he's on the floor. And you know Dana, he loves that. He loves defense. He loves rebounding. He loves toughness. He loves running people off the three-point line. And that's what he says LJ brings. He brings just that toughness, that high energy. And, you know, even though LJ's 6'6", he's going to play the guard position. He says he's not really a one, but he'll play the one, but he's more of a two and a three. But he does shoot the ball really well. Hasn't shot it particularly well. He did a little bit last night, but he's gonna add some points to them. And I really like Williams. I think Eric Williams, who's also 6'6", is really going to add a lot to this team.
They've got a lot of 6'6 guys.
They do.
As we continue with Warren Williamson of Duck Football News moving to football and listening to Coach Cristobal, his coordinators, and the guys this week, no question the disappointment of back-to-back losses. But are you getting that they kind of understand it's a wacko season and are now all in and, you know, focused on this winner takes the North big one with the Dogs?
First of all, we wouldn't have it any other way. Let's just get that out of the way. To have all the marbles on the table on Saturday is really pretty awesome with the Huskies coming to town. But I think we all have to remember that this year has been so weird, and I don't think Oregon was ever going to get, even if they go undefeated, I don't think they were ever going to get to the playoff. That's just my personal opinion. I just, six games, maybe a seventh game, I didn't think they would get there. But they're a good football team. But if you talk to Dana Altman, if you talk to Kelly Graves, if you talk to Mario Cristobal, each one of them will tell you that this has affected every one of their players psychologically. It's not even a college. It's almost like they're playing professional ball, having to test every day, then practice, then go to school. They're in finals this week. So, you know, you have to think a little bit about that. It's not a normal season. Losing to the Beavers and losing to Cal, that's a big hurt. I get that. But, you know, they still got a chance to bring it home and get the win on Saturday, and, you know, they're playing for the Pac-12 crown again.
You know, I want to get to some of the lunatics because while Tyler Shuck had his most inconsistent game against Cal, you know, you're talking about a first-time starter who's played all of five games. And, you know, you listen to people on social media sometimes, and every three and out, they want a new quarterback, a new coordinator in there. But he's still among the top-ranked quarterbacks in this conference, and I don't even wonder if he's the guy. I think he's on his way. But overall, what's been your read on Tyler's performance?
You know, I figured you were going to ask me about this, so I looked this up today. So going back to 2016, when Justin Herbert was a freshman, he played in eight games that year. His passing percentage is exactly what Tyler's is right now, just above 63%. Now, he threw for over 1,900 yards in those eight games. Right now, Tyler's at a little over 1,300 yards in five games. Herbert threw 19 touchdowns that year in his freshman year, and Tyler's thrown 11, and they've each now thrown four interceptions. So if you're looking for that silver lining, you know, look what Justin Herbert ended up being. I think Tyler's a very good quarterback. He just needs more time. And amongst all this craziness that's going on with testing and everything, you know, it's hard. He didn't get and all the players didn't get a full off season and preseason games. And I think, yes, he has a habit of throwing balls in tight windows when they probably shouldn't be, but he'll learn from that. He will. And I think as much as I'd like to see what Anthony Brown can do, I think they're playing the right guy.
One general question about this team. In those back-to-back weeks, so they score 38 points on the road and lose. Then the last week they give up only 21 points on the road and lose. And usually those are both wins. Those statistics add up to Duck wins the last 20 years. So is it accurate to say that the frustration might be tied to kind of both sides of the ball just not synced up for success?
I think Joe Moorhead will tell you that they didn't execute very well against Cal. And he took some of that on his own shoulders. He made some play calls that maybe weren't good play calls at the time. But defensively, they really played horrendous against the Beavers. They did. Jamar Jefferson ran all over them, and I think they tightened that up a little bit against Cal. And I think you'll see a better defensive effort Saturday against the Huskies. But, you know, again, last year, look at all the defensive stalwarts that the Ducks had, and they lost a lot of those players. And look at what the offensive line has. They lost a lot of those players. You know, back when Justin Herbert was a freshman in 2016, all the guys that we lost last year, they were all freshmen as well. So there's a lot you can take when it comes to youth. You just need to give them a little bit of time. And again, this season has just been crazy. But I've got a good feeling about Saturday. I think they're going to play well. I do.
Yeah, I think a lot of us maybe took for granted, because there's so much talent on defense, that you could easily replace four great playmakers in Dye and the three on the back end who opted out. So would it be safe to say that maybe they'll come along? But as of this point, to just expect what Breeze became in the Rose Bowl, defensive MVP, Javon Holland, probably the best NFL prospect of all of them, Thomas Graham, a great cover guy, Troy Dye, the heart and soul of the defense, to just think that they were easily replaced might have been a little overly optimistic.
Most definitely. I mean, I thought they would be a good defense because I like Andy Avalos. I think he's a good teacher. Sure. I think he's got a good scheme. I asked him early this week, about he did more of a press coverage on the outside with his corners, and he blitzed a bit more with different blitz packages. And he says it's all about finding windows and closing those windows for the offense. And so he's a really good defensive mind. Now, they just need to execute. That's all. They need to get those players. I mean, they're playing kids that didn't even see snaps last year, some of them. But McKinley, I think he's really, really good. I do. He's had kind of a tough season. I think Didi Lenore has played a exceptionally well. But they just need more experience, you know, and it's hard to get upset with them. I mean, they go 3-0, and everyone thinks they're going to go 6-0, but then they lose to two teams who they shouldn't have lost to, and now the city's burning down. But I just Duck fans need to keep their heads and their wits about them, and they're gonna do well. Remember, they recruited really, really well too.
Sure. No, it all has to come together, and to draw too many conclusions in 2020, I think you only could drive yourself nuts. All right, one final thought for Warren Williamson of Oregon Football News. I know you follow the women's program pretty closely, and I know she's injured, but Sedona Prince, who I had heard about, and, you know, you listen to Coach, you listen to Terry Johns, and they kind of explained how her practicing against Ruthie Hebert last year might have been the best post Ruthie faced all season. And then you see her out there at 6'7" with her skill set. And to me, it's like, okay, it's great what we've seen. But Warren, what about what she's going to become?
You know, at 6'7", one thing I really like about Sedona is that when you watch her feet. Watch her footwork in the paint area, how she gets around and how she moves around defenders, and how she sets up her shot, and how she fades back and drives her shot. She has really good feet, and she's got really good hands. And in the women's game, you don't often see that really. But I think if she can get healthy again and get over this sprained ankle, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year as well. I mean, they were picked third to win the conference, and it'll be interesting to see how they match up with Stanford when Stanford comes. I think that's going to be a really good game. They've got those freshmen; they're really good. They are. You watch them; they each have a different skill set. And once the three ball to really fall for them, they're going to be dangerous.
No, they're fun as well to watch, and they're loaded with talent. Folks, he's Warren Williamson. He does an awesome job covering all aspects of Duck athletics for Oregon Duck Football News. Again, on Twitter, the handle at DuckFB News. Warren, always great catching up. Hoping you and yours are well, and look forward to talking soon.
Steve, happy holidays anytime.
All right, thanks a lot.